Today's scripture reading is from the book of James, written by Jesus' brother to Jewish Christians. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. The word of the Lord.
All right. This morning, we are continuing in our series that we're calling like One Another, highlighting the many times throughout Scripture, especially the New Testament, where the Bible exhorts us in a particular way as it relates to how we relate to one another. Like, there's a certain quality of relationships that Christians are supposed to have with one another, and these scriptures outline that quality. So we've talked about loving one another, encouraging one another. There are many. And today, we're going to talk about praying for one another. Praying for one another. And this week I got some strong feedback about how annoying it is to do the turn to your neighbor and say the phrase thing, you know? That means we're definitely doing it again today. So there's only a couple more weeks, guys. You'll make it. So turn to your neighbor this morning and say, pray for one another. Awesome. Very good. Okay. So today we're talking about prayer, but we're not just talking about prayer broadly. Okay. We're talking about a particular type of prayer. See, there's this kind of prayer that is kind of global and broad, like praying for the really big things in the world. And that's an important type of prayer. But we're not talking about that kind of prayer today. And there's another type of prayer that's like deeply intimate and personal. The kind of prayer, we call that prayer when you're like kind of alone with God and you're articulating to Him your desires and your thoughts and what you need. That type of prayer is also very important. But that is not the type of prayer that we're talking about today. We're talking about praying for one another. And I think the problem is that we often fall into one of those other two like categories. When we go to pray, the first thing that we oftentimes think is, well, okay, so what ought I to be praying for? What ought I to be praying for? And so the things that come to our mind are things like racial injustices and you know, global poverty and human trafficking and all those things. Those are what, like, okay, well, I know I should pray for those really big, terrible things. And you should, okay? Like, I truly believe, like, those things are not going to change significantly without God's real intervention and our faithful work on those things, okay? So I'm not saying don't pray those big, universal types of prayer. That's what we think we ought to be praying for. But I think oftentimes what we end up actually praying for is like our first instinct to pray is usually about ourselves, honestly, which is not a bad thing. But it's like, you know, the things that we instinctually pray for are what we need. God, I need, man, will you help me with this situation at my work or in my relationship or whatever? Those are the prayers that come most quickly to us, okay? And those are important prayers too. Please pray those prayers. God wants to hear your needs and desires articulated to Him. He's listening to those things. Please keep praying for those things. But I'm saying that there's this third type of prayer that we will call praying for one another. It's talked about a lot in Scripture, and it's maybe the type of prayer that I think we are worst at. Praying for one another. It isn't primarily kind of intimate and personal, and it also isn't like primarily universal and global. It's like interpersonal. Praying for one another. So let's start with this big question. Who should we pray for? And I'm going to be referencing a lot this passage from James. That's going to be the primary text for us this morning. And it's on the backside of your bulletin if you want to look at it at any point. But who should we be praying for? And this passage tells us three types of people that need prayer. First, are you in trouble, James says. And by that, he means that word, that phrase means something like, are you in a situation that's very difficult, a trial, an affliction of some kind? If you are, call for prayer. That's the first category. Are you in trouble? Number two, are you sick? Again, it's pretty self-explanatory. What he means is like, does your body have some kind of ailment? Or psychologically, is there something wrong with you physically? Call for prayer. And then three, the third category that he outlines in this passage is about sin. And he says, so the people that, another category of people that really need prayer are people who sin, who's aren't sick physically, but have some kind of spiritual sickness, right? And a sickness that breaks down their relationships. That's what sin does. It dismantles our relationships with one another and with God. When we sin against God or one another, it breaks down those relationships. So James is saying there are three types of people that need prayer. Those who are in trouble, those who are sick, and those who have sinned. Okay? So who is prayer for? Well, I would love to hear if there is any of you that don't fit one of those three categories, right? Prayer is for us. It's for who should we be praying for? We should pray for one another. Prayer is for you. Prayer is for you. James wants us to be praying for one another. We all fit those categories in one way or another. I'm going to do a little, get on my soapbox for a second, okay? Why are we as Christians so bad at this? Why are we so bad at praying for one another? I mean, I'm sure you've been there yourself. When there's like a moment when Christians come together where it's like, hey, what can we pray for? And or how can I pray for you? And how quickly the conversation goes to someone who is far away from you, you know? Hey, well, you know, can we pray for my aunt or my cousin or my neighbor's cousin? Or, you know, and it can get a little carried away, can't it? And look, guys, look, those prayers matter. We need to be praying for those things. I am not suggesting that we shouldn't be praying for the real needs of our distant relatives or complete strangers even. Our heart goes out to those terrible situations and we should pray for them. But oftentimes, when I hear somebody talking about their neighbor's cousin or something, there's an impulse in me that wants to say, hey, yes, let's definitely pray for that. But I also want to place my hand on their shoulder and say, but how can I pray for you? Like, is there any sense in which you fit any of those categories? Are you in trouble? Do you have some kind of affliction or difficulty in your life? Are you sick, some ailment that's nagging? Is there some sin that's like, you know, kind of impacting your relationships? Like, that's what I feel that impulse to do, is to come over and say, hey, but how can I pray for you? What I'm trying to say is this. If when you go to pray, you both start and end with the saddest thing that comes to your mind, then you will never end up praying for your spouse, your parents, your kids, the people at church, the people in your life group, your neighbor, your best friend. And those people need prayer too. James cast this vision for us, praying for one another. Okay. There are a lot of reasons why we, I think, are reluctant to share the requests that we have. How people can pray for us. There are several reasons. I'll just quickly go through a few. One is that I think we oftentimes struggle to even know what we need prayer for, right? We might not be in tune enough with where we're at to actually articulate, oh gosh, what do I need prayer for? What would I like God to do? So that's one aspect of it. I think secondly, we don't like to really admit sometimes that we need help. And thirdly, I would say sometimes it's coming from almost like a good place. Most of the time, I think it's coming from a good place. But the reason why we don't want prayer is because we're like, yeah, but I'm fine. Let's send the prayers to somebody that really needs it, somebody that I know that really, send those prayers to that person. I'm doing fine. But we need prayer. We need it. We need prayer for things that happen to us. That's like the, are you in trouble? Are you sick? Things that happen outside of us, that happen to us. And we need prayer for things that happen in us. That's the sin part. The brokenness that exists inside of us. So whether from within or without, we need prayer. Who is prayer for? Prayer is for you. It's for one another. And I'm not saying that if somebody comes to you on a Sunday morning or in your life group or any other time and says, hey, how can I pray for you? That you need to have one in the holster at all times, ready to go. Like, okay, Dean said I need to be, emotionally honest here. It's okay. And if there are seasons even where you're like, I'm doing good. I don't really fit into any of those three categories very well. I'm not in trouble. I'm not sick. I'm not plagued by some kind of, great. That's okay. But here's what I'm trying to say. If you never are able to articulate what you need prayer for, then I think that's a problem. I think that you are maybe not being honest with yourself or with others. We should at least sometimes in our lives be able to articulate what we need prayer for and how and why we fit into one of those categories and what we want God to do for us. Okay. Second point. I want to talk about what I'll call the hope of prayer. Hope of prayer. So another way of asking it is, why should we pray? And I think this is another reason why we're kind of bad at praying for one another. Because many of us think, like, what's the point? Like, sure, you can pray for me if you want, but what good will it do? We don't actually oftentimes, really embrace and believe the hope of prayer. So let me preach it to you a little bit this morning. James says this, the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. So what's the hope of prayer? The hope of prayer is that it works, is that it's effective. The hope of prayer is that our prayers, our words go to God's ears. And then he, acts in some way because of those prayers. He answers our prayers. James shows us in this passage that healing, both physical and relational, are possible in Jesus Christ through the faithful prayers of us for one another. Let's be clear here, though. That verse does not mean what it appears to mean on its first reading, that prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, okay? Look, guys, James didn't even believe that was, literally true, okay? If James believed that, then there would be no sick people, in James's life, right? He just, would pray the prayer of faith, and then that person would be made well, and there would be no sick people in the Middle East, But that wasn't the case. James's point there isn't theological. That's not what he's getting at. James knew firsthand that a faithful prayer does not equate to God answering our prayers or to wellness. But I think what James does believe in, he does believe that faith-filled prayer can make a sick person well, right? He definitely believes that when we pray, it's possible that God will literally raise someone up and they can go about their normal duties. But I think that he also believes that those things can and do happen internally, spiritually, when the people of God pray for one another. So we are all made well or raised up in a deeper sense when we pray for one another. There's this very Christian-y phrase about prayer that I think I heard in the Alpha course that says, when we pray, nothing never happens. Okay, you track that? When we pray, nothing never happens. As if to say, when we pray, God does something. He hears our prayers and he does something. And sometimes it's literal, hey, God, I'm in trouble. And he delivers us from the trouble. It's, clear. And other times, like, it's something that he does inside of us and spiritual inside of us. He raises us up spiritually, internally. That is the hope of prayer, is that God answers and does something. Prayer offered in faith does not mean that if you just grit your teeth and try hard enough to believe, then God will answer your prayers. No. Yes, you do need faith to pray, that God can answer those prayers externally, internally. But a prayer of faith also is a prayer that is offered in knowledge of God's will, or in belief in God's will, that God will do what he wants. And so you pray in faith, God, your will be done, not ours. So James's statement here is not a theological doctrine. It's a pastoral exhortation, as if to say, come on, church, there is hope in prayer. Pray for one another. That is the hope of prayer, that we will humble ourselves and pray, and God will hear from heaven and heal us. Well, I suspect some of you might feel this way. You're like, Dean, okay, I believe abstractly in the hope of prayer, but I struggle to believe in the hope of my prayers. As if to say, doesn't this passage talk about the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective? Well, Dean, I don't feel very righteous. I don't know if you know me, but I feel far from righteous. And so I'm happy to offer a prayer for someone, like as a sign to them that I care for them. But do I actually believe that the God of heaven will hear my prayers that I offer for them and like do something? We really struggle to believe that sometimes. Even his example, James's example in this passage is Elijah. I don't know if you guys know that much about the Old Testament character Elijah, but he is like an Old Testament powerhouse. And the example that James gives is that he prays that the weather would change and God hears him. And so even that example, I think, is like, okay, so a really epic person from the Old Testament prayed a really epic prayer and God answered it. Well, God, I don't feel very epic or righteous, and so where do I stand? But if you were to read, I think those of us that feel that impulse, if we were to read James's letter straight through, we would see that James, that we're missing the point. In James chapter 2, he's talking about another Old Testament powerhouse, the Old Testament powerhouse, Abraham. And he says, Abraham was righteous, but what made Abraham righteous was that he believed God. That's what made Abraham righteous, that he believed God. That's what made Elijah righteous. That's what makes us righteous. When we believe God, when we have faith in him, it's not about an external morality or being like extra specially holy. That's who the people that God answers prayers for are, the super holy. Of course not. He answers them for the righteous, which are you. If you put your faith in God, then he leans in to hear your prayers, the same way that he leaned into Elijah's and Abraham's and all the others who have put their faith in him. All right, that's the hope of prayer, that God will hear your actual prayers for one another and answer them. I want to end the sermon with an application. In light of all that I just talked about praying for one another, like what do we do with that? How do we become a community that gets better at practicing that praying for one another thing? Well, I think every week in this series on one anothering so far, if I've given any kind of application, it's essentially been, hey, you take the initiative to reach out to the person in need. You know, so when we talked about hospitality, I was like, I want you guys to think about who you can offer hospitality to. When we talked about encouragement, I said, I want you guys to think about who you can offer encouragement to. This week is different. Because James gives us a model for who should take the initiative in praying for one another. And what he says is, if you are sick, call for prayer. You take the initiative. If you are in trouble, if you are sick, if you are sin, you know, locked in sin, whatever, like if your relationships are falling apart, if that's you, call for prayer. You take the initiative, reach out to someone so that they can pray for you. Sometimes it is very hard. You all know this is true. Sometimes it's very hard when we are in trouble or sick or, you know, when we're in that place, it's very hard to offer prayers for ourselves, isn't it? It's hard to like articulate to God what you actually need. Well, good news, you don't have to do it. Call for prayer. Ask a brother or sister to pray for you. They will offer the prayers for you that you can't find the words for yourself. I'm asking you this morning, this week, will you reach out to someone and ask them to pray for you? Think about something that, some way that you fit into one of James's categories or just something that you need from God and reach out to someone. Call for prayer, as James says. It could be as simple as shooting a text message to somebody that you love and trust. You can email me. You can write on the back of your Connect card that I'll talk about in a little bit. You can, you can turn to someone when you get up to leave from church today and say, hey, we don't know each other very well, but would you pray for me? That's what's going to help us become this kind of community, is if we are, will open ourselves up and call for prayer. I assure you that if you do that, no one will brush you off. I just know that that's true. If you ask somebody to pray for you, no one is going to say, oh, well, I was really going to dedicate my time of prayer to politics this week, but I guess I'll pray for you instead. You know, nobody is going to begrudgingly do that. People want to pray for you. What you're going to get is like the heartfelt prayers of your brother or sister, like lifted up to the God of heaven on your behalf. That's what you will get if you call out for prayer. So may God give us the humility to call out for prayer, and may our loving Father hear from heaven and give us what we need through the effective prayers offered for one another. Amen. Amen.